The chapter is headed in the New International Version, The Shepherd and His Flock. In this chapter, the Lord Jesus uses a very moving and intimate picture to show the relationship he has with the people who belong to him. The Lord Jesus pictures himself as a shepherd, and he describes his own people as being his sheep. Now, we spent the last couple of weeks looking at the opening verses of the chapter, verses 1 to 6. And we've seen how naturally those verses follow on from chapter 9. In chapter 9, we have the story of a man whom Jesus calls, a blind man. This man did not know Jesus. This man had no previous interest in Jesus. But Jesus came to this man and spoke to him. This blind man heard the voice of Jesus in the darkness. He had never heard that voice before. And yet he knew he had to obey the voice of Jesus. That voice spoke to him irresistibly. Hearing the voice of Jesus changed that man's life forever. He became a follower of Jesus Christ. He became a worshipper of Jesus Christ. From the moment he heard the voice of Jesus Christ, this man became different from the people around him. He was at odds with his neighbors. They couldn't understand his experience. A wedge was driven between him and his family. They didn't want to be involved with him and with the Lord Jesus. This man finished up being thrown out of the synagogue. He became an outcast from society. And he was willing to accept all this in order to be with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ called this man. He drew this man. He separated this man from the people of the world around him. That's the story we have in chapter 9. And then in chapter 10, verses 1 to 5, the Lord Jesus begins to show us that the way he dealt with that man is exactly the way he deals with all his true people. The Lord Jesus uses this picture of a shepherd. He's got his own sheep. Sheep which belong to him. He's their owner. But they're in a sheep pen, along with other sheep. They're all mixed up together. You can't tell his sheep from other sheep. But the shepherd knows his own sheep. So he comes to the sheepfold and he calls to his sheep. He calls them individually. He calls them one by one. Just as the Lord Jesus called the blind man in chapter 9, so the shepherd calls each one of his own sheep individually. He calls those who belong to him. And each one of them recognizes his voice. Each one of them leaves behind the other sheep in the pen in order to join the shepherd to whom they really belong. So the shepherd separates out his own sheep from the rest. And then he leads them away from the pen. And they follow him wherever he goes. You see, it's such a clear and lovely picture of the way that the Lord Jesus saves his own people. He has his own people. People who belong to him. People whom God chose to belong to Jesus Christ even before the world was created. But those people, the people whom God has chosen for Jesus Christ, they're mixed in with all the people of the world. They're no different from the people of the world. They live the same godless, selfish, worldly, sinful lives as the rest of the people around them, until the day when Jesus, their true owner, comes to claim them. He comes and he speaks to them. He calls them irresistibly, and they hear his voice, and they are drawn by it, and they turn away from the ways of the world. They repent of their sins. They trust themselves to Jesus Christ. They begin to follow him and to obey him. They know that they are his property. They delight to think of themselves as his property. That's the way they live, knowing that they are not their own, that they belong to Jesus Christ, body and soul. And from that moment on, they are following the Saviour who is their shepherd. So what we have in verses 1 to 5 is a wonderful picture of conversion. The way that the Lord Jesus brings his own people to repentance and faith. Again, we need to emphasize it. They are already his. They are his from all eternity, because God has chosen these people to belong to him. But then comes the day in time when the Lord Jesus calls them with that irresistible call, and they are drawn to him, and they repent, and they believe. As it were, they leave behind the old pen. From now on, they're different from the people around them. From now on, they're going to walk with the shepherd to whom they belong. So that is the lovely illustration that the Lord Jesus uses here in verses 1 to 5. Now, you would think that the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders to whom the Lord Jesus is talking, would immediately have understood what Jesus is saying. After all, it's a familiar picture. They know all about shepherds and sheep. The land of Israel is a sheep country. And the picture Jesus uses is a picture used many times in the Old Testament. We were looking last week at the Old Testament background, especially Ezekiel 34. I read part of that chapter again at the beginning of this service. And they don't forget, these men have seen Jesus dealing with the blind man of chapter 9. They've seen Jesus the shepherd calling that sheep to leave the world and to follow him. They should have understood the picture. But they didn't. Verse 6. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Now, that in itself is surely a striking illustration, a remarkable proof of what Jesus is saying. Those who are Jesus' sheep, those who have been chosen by God, they do understand Jesus' words. They are drawn by them. But other people can't understand. However clearly Jesus speaks, they simply can't grasp what he's saying. Using the picture of chapter 9, they are blind. And they remain blind. They simply can't see it. They simply can't understand it. You know, this is our experience, isn't it? When we try to explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus to people, when we speak to people about the Saviour and his grace and his power and his majesty, many of them don't seem to be able to understand what we're saying, even on an intellectual level. They may be very clever, they may be very well educated, and yet when we're talking to them about Jesus Christ, they just don't seem to be able to take it in. If we talk to them about quantum mechanics, or if we talk to them about bioengineering, they would understand it so easily. And yet when we talk to them about Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, when we talk to them about his love for sinners and the way he saves sinners, they look at us baffled and they say, well, I'm sorry, I can't quite see what you're getting at. There are many people like that. However simply we try to explain the gospel to them, they simply don't understand it. And of those who do understand it at an intellectual level, there are even fewer who understand it at a spiritual level. And yes, maybe they do take in the meaning of the words, but they still can't understand it in their hearts. They can't see how wonderful and glorious and urgent and all-important the word of Jesus Christ is. That's our experience so often, isn't it? We are so often bewildered by people's incapacity to understand. It's the experience of every Sunday school teacher. You explain to your class as simply as you possibly can the great message of Jesus Christ. You talk to them about him, about his power and his love and his kindness and his willingness to save. And then you come to the end of your Sunday school lesson and you ask one or two pointed questions, and it's obvious they've not understood a word. I suspect when we hear our reports from camp and from Beach Mission this evening, we'll hear of people who heard and yet they didn't understand a word. The experience of every preacher. We preach to people and they don't understand a word. Either they can't understand in their heads or they can't understand in their hearts. And why is it? It's because they're not Christ's sheep. It's because it's only the sheep who hear the voice of the shepherd. It's only the sheep who understand the call of the shepherd. He speaks to them by name. He speaks to them individually. It's not a public broadcast which everyone can understand. It's the voice of the shepherd speaking to the heart of those who belong to him. These Pharisees cannot understand. Verse 6, they did not understand what Jesus was telling them because they were not his sheep. Isn't it extraordinary? The man we've been reading about in chapter 9 is a blind beggar. He's obviously completely illiterate. There's no braille system in the ancient world. This man can never have read a book. He's not educated. And yet the moment Jesus speaks, that man can understand him. Jesus stands there and says, I am the light of the world. How can that blind man understand those words? He's lived in darkness all his life. He's never glimpsed light. And yet when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That man understands him. That's the irresistible power of the shepherd to call his own sheep. They do understand his voice. But on the other side, you have these Pharisees. And they are great scholars. They're steeped in the Old Testament. They have all the equipment to believe, as it were, to understand. They know the Old Testament background. And yet when Jesus speaks, they simply cannot understand what he's saying. It's such a powerful demonstration, isn't it, of the truth of election. I thank you, Father, says the Lord Jesus, that you have hidden these things from the wise and learned, and you have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. There's no other explanation. Why is it that so often the wise and the learned are incapable of understanding the plain words of Jesus Christ? And why is it that babes, illiterate people, people with no education, people with no understanding, leap to hear and rejoice to understand the words of Jesus? Even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. You remember what Paul says. Brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of the world, the despised things, the things that are nothing, to bring to nothing the things that are, so that no one can boast before him. Nobody is ever going to be able to say, I came to Jesus because I was so clever. I came to Jesus because I understood. I had a mind to grasp the truth. The only reason anyone comes to Jesus Christ is because the shepherd calls with an irresistible call. The wise and the learned so often are left behind. But those whose hearts the Lord Jesus opens, they understand and they come. So it is here. The poor, blind, illiterate beggar of John 9, he hears the voice of Jesus and he comes. The Pharisees of chapter 10, they hear the voice of Jesus and they say, we don't understand. We don't understand. Later on in the chapter, some of them are saying more than that. Later on in the chapter, some of them are saying, this is the voice of a demon. This man's demon-possessed. They can hear the voice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They can hear the voice that is full of purity and truth and beauty and infinite wisdom. And they are so far from recognizing it that they can call it the voice of Satan. That is how blind men and women are by nature. That is how incapable they are of recognizing and understanding the voice of Jesus. If they simply said, we don't understand, that would be dreadful enough, but they go beyond that. They say, this is the voice of evil. The blind man of chapter 9 hears the voice of Jesus, and he knows it's a voice of infinite goodness and love and truth. But the Pharisees, those who have been trained all their lives in religion, they hear the voice of Jesus, and they say he's speaking by a demon. Never be surprised by the hardness of people's hearts. Never be surprised by their blindness. Never be surprised by their inability to understand the gospel. It cannot be exaggerated. So blind, so wicked, so depraved is the human heart that unless the shepherd calls with irresistible voice, people cannot and will not understand. Well, the Lord Jesus continues to speak. He continues to expound his great theme in the verses that follow, verses 7 to 10. Only now he changes the picture slightly. He's still talking about the shepherd and his sheep, but he uses the picture now in a slightly different way. In verses 1 to 5, Jesus is dealing chiefly with the beginning of the Christian life, how the shepherd first calls his own sheep. But now, in verses 7 onwards, the Lord Jesus is talking about the continuing Christian life, how the shepherd guards the sheep from that time on, and how the sheep continue to follow the shepherd. And so to match that different purpose, that different subject, the details of the picture change slightly. Here in verses 7 onwards, the shepherd is no longer calling his own sheep out of a pen where they're mixed with other sheep. He's already done that. He's already brought his own sheep together as a separate flock. And now the shepherd is leading them through the countryside. The shepherd is guiding them to the places where they can feed. The shepherd is protecting them night and day. You see, in verses 1 to 5, the shepherd first calls them and draws them aside to be his flock. And now in verses 7 onwards, he is leading his flock onwards, guarding them, feeding them, guiding them. Now the Lord Jesus says in verse 7, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. Or in the Authorized Version, I am the door of the sheep. You see what I mean when I say that the picture, or the details of the picture, have changed slightly. Back in verse 2, the shepherd comes to the gate. The shepherd enters the gate. But now, the shepherd is himself the gate. Now, what does the Lord Jesus mean? Well, there are people who have gone out and travelled in the Middle East and who have studied the way that shepherds do their job out there. And this is the way they explain this verse. In a country like Palestine, shepherds will often be leading their flocks in very remote places, far from the towns. And out in the wild, the shepherd may build an enclosure where the sheep will be safe at night. Maybe he'll build it out of brushwood or out of thorn branches. Back in verse 2, you've got a big official sheep pen shared by different flocks with a paid watchman at the gate. But this isn't like that. This is just an impromptu sheepfold out in the wild. So the shepherd builds it up out there in the wilderness. And he just leaves one small gap to use as an entrance. And when night comes, he herds the sheep through the gap. He brings them into the enclosure. And then he himself lies down in the entrance. He is literally the gate for the sheep. This enclosure he's built out there in the wild, it has no other gate. He himself is the gate, there in the gap. The sheep can't stray, because he is there in the entrance, guarding them. And the wild beasts that are out there can't attack the sheep without first attacking the shepherd. Literally, the shepherd puts his own body between the sheep and all the dangers out there in the wild. He is the gate. Well, I've never been out to Palestine, Israel, so I can't tell you how common that practice actually is. But it seems to fit so well what the Lord Jesus is saying. He says, I myself, I am the gate for the sheep. I've taken my people out from the pen where they were living before I saved them. I've separated them out from the official sheep pen. But now, I'm not just going to leave them to wander on their own, to roam through a dangerous world. I bring my people together. I make them a flock. And then I take them where I want to go. I guard them day and night. Every one of my true sheep is safe, absolutely safe, because I guard them with my life. Again, you must think back to this blind man in chapter 9. You remember, this man is thrown out by the Jewish leaders in verse 34. He's expelled from the synagogue. He no longer belongs to the official sheep pen of Israel. He's been stripped of his citizenship. The Lord Jesus has called him out. The Lord Jesus, as it were, has brought him out of the official sheep pen. But does that mean now that the Lord Jesus is simply going to leave this man as an isolated, lonely individual wandering around helplessly and vulnerable in the world? Is this man going to be left to cope on his own? Well, of course not. Jesus is going to guard him. Jesus calls his people individually. There is no other way of being called, of being converted. You have to be called individually. But the Lord Jesus does not leave us as isolated individuals. He brings us together as his flock. The reason the sheep are brought out from the official sheep pen is so that they can be formed into a flock together. The Lord Jesus forms his people into churches. Very soon there's going to be a church formed in Jerusalem. Its official beginning is the day of Pentecost. And this man is going to be part of that church. He's not just going to be an isolated individual. He's been brought out of one sheep pen, but only so that he can be part of the flock of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem. The Lord Jesus gathers his people together as a flock, and then he leads them through the wilderness of this world, and he guarantees their safety. He guards them night and day. You see what he says in verse 9. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Or better, as it has in the footnote, will be kept safe. He's not just talking about the initial moment when a man or woman is saved from their sin and from their life without God. He's talking about a sheep who is kept safe night and day. Every night he enters through the gate. The shepherd stands there in the entrance. He himself is the gate. The shepherd counts all his sheep in. He makes sure not one of them is missing. Whoever enters in through me, says Jesus, will be kept safe. There are two great dangers that threaten the sheep. They are in constant danger for two reasons. Firstly, because of their own foolishness. Left to themselves, they would certainly wander away, and they would be lost. But the shepherd is there, lying in the entrance. He is the gate. He is there guarding them, keeping them safe from their own foolishness. And they're in danger, secondly, because they have enemies out there in the wild. Enemies who want to devour and destroy them. But the shepherd is there guarding them from danger within and danger without. They can't be lost. They won't be lost because they have a sovereign protector who cares for every one of them individually. If we are Christ's sheep, he has promised that he will guard us infallibly. He will guard us, yes, against the enemies out there, the hostility of men, the corrupting influences of the world, the hatred and the malice of Satan, who is so anxious to destroy us. And he is also there guarding us against the folly, the stupidity, the waywardness of our own hearts. The shepherd guards his sheep. And not only does he guard them, he guarantees their well-being. Verse 9, I am the gate, whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in, he will go out and find pasture. The shepherd feeds these sheep. He leads them to pastures where they will find food. He isn't going to let one of his sheep starve. Oh, there may be barren places. Sometimes where the pastures will be burned up and where it'll be hard to find the grass. But somehow the shepherd will always find pasture for his sheep. That's his responsibility. They will come in, they will go out, and they will find pasture. He guarantees it. They won't starve, they won't die. Somehow, in the most unlikely places, they will always find sufficient nourishment to survive. Because they are led by a perfectly wise, perfectly caring shepherd who is determined to care for each one of them. We've said, written across the first five verses of the chapter is the great doctrine of election and irresistible calling. Written across these verses is the great doctrine of the preservation and the perseverance of the saints. The shepherd preserves his own sheep. He guards and keeps and feeds every one of them infallibly. Now, that doctrine, the doctrine of the preservation of the elect, is a dangerous doctrine, isn't it? Because it can so easily be misunderstood. And it can so easily be twisted. I've known people who have argued like this. They've said, well, if the shepherd promises to guard every one of his sheep, if the shepherd promises that none of them will ever be lost or destroyed, then I've got nothing to worry about, have I? I can live however I want. He'll guard me. He'll look after me. I can live a completely careless life. I can play with sin. I can put myself in situations where there'll be temptation. I can mix with worldly people and join in their entertainments. I can neglect the means of grace. After all, he's promised to feed me, so it doesn't really matter if I'm in the services on the Lord's Day to be fed by the Word of God. It doesn't really matter if I'm putting time aside day by day to study the Word of God and to meditate upon it. He's promised he'll guard me. He's promised he'll keep me. I don't need to be worrying about myself. I don't need to be keeping myself, because he'll be keeping me. Isn't that a fearful misunderstanding? What we learn here is that the sheep, Jesus Christ's true sheep, stay close to the shepherd. Jesus is telling us here that the true sheep are always listening to the shepherd. They hate to be out of the sound of his voice. They're constantly huddling around him. They're wanting his protection day and night. They're following where he leads them. They're obeying his commands. They're feeding where he takes them. They live close to the shepherd. They walk close to the shepherd. And that's the sign that they are his sheep. If you are not doing those things, then what makes you think you are one of Christ's sheep? If you don't long to hear the voice of Jesus Christ, if you do not live close to Jesus Christ, if you are not taking every opportunity to feed on what Jesus Christ supplies, then why should you call yourself one of his sheep? Christ's sheep are those who actually have a living relationship with Christ day by day. Christ's sheep are those who are gathered under his protection constantly. A sheep that does not listen to the voice of Christ, a sheep that does not follow the voice of Christ, a sheep that does not obey the voice of Christ the shepherd, is not one of Christ's sheep. The doctrine of the preservation of the saints says this: the Lord Jesus preserves his sheep by giving them a heart to follow him closely. And if you do not have a heart that loves Jesus Christ, if you do not have a heart that cherishes communion with Christ, if you don't have a heart that delights to hear the word of Christ, then don't imagine you're one of his sheep. This chapter gives wonderful encouragement for believers who feel their own weakness and frailty. You say, I want to walk closely with Jesus Christ. I do love his voice, but I'm afraid because I've got such a foolish heart, and I'm afraid because I'm aware so much of the enemies out there, and I'm being hard pressed by Satan. I'm afraid of my own heart. Well, then this chapter comes to you with great encouragement. Jesus says, I will guard my sheep. I will never let you go. I will never let those enemies out there destroy you. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. This passage offers great reassurance to fearful believers. But it offers no comfort, no reassurance at all to those who claim to belong to Jesus, but who live careless, worldly, complacent lives, to those who neglect the means of grace, to those who put themselves into the way of temptation, to those who refuse to follow closely with Jesus. Well, may God draw us. May our hearts be filled with love for the Saviour. May we hear his voice and understand that voice and follow him closely by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, who is given to all the true people of Jesus. Amen.